Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? You've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast as Halloween horrors continue for the month of October. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the body snatcher.
Hey, you know, though, dude, have you guys, I'm having a hard time getting into, like, the horror Halloween feeling because it's been so fucking hot. It's like, where is our good weather? You know, that we usually get this time of the year, you know, you kind of get the... Well, no, I know it's cooling down tonight, but in general, though, we haven't had that creepy, rainy, foggy, cooler October weather we get. It's been just hot and miserable. You know, it's like,
yeah, you're right.
Hopefully,
there.
By Halloween comes, it'll be that kind of weather. You know, but it's just like it does feel like the nice weather is a little bit later than usual. You know, but I'm ready for it though. I'm tired of ball sweaty weather. You know.
So ball sweaty weather.
That's what it is. I mean, it's hot outside. You get sweaty balls. I mean, I'm just being real. But my throat's a little hoarse. You know, our Astros are in their fifth straight ALCS, and just got done watching the game. A little bit of screaming at the TV with some big home runs. So I think I might have shot my throat there. It's like, damn. When Altuve hit the home run, I actually scared Waverly because I yelled so loud. She closed her ears, and I think I frightened her for a moment. But she'll have to get used to it.
Yeah.
So it's no worse than last Saturday. The Longhorns blew a devastating game to Oklahoma last Saturday with a last-minute touchdown, and I had an empty Coke can, and I chucked it across the room. I was like, fuck this shit. I was pissed. I was like, ugh. That's just – but don't mistake it for anger, people. It's passion. Okay. It's what it is. Sometimes you have to have things that you're passionate about. Like this podcast. Pretty passionate about it most of the time. You know? And so how y'all's week's been? Good?
Good, man. Went by like I told you.
There's like the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
At my job.
Oh yeah, for you guys. Man, Thanksgiving month's gonna be here. Y'all are gonna be
not looking forward to that.
I'd just like to get some trucks on time from that company that Matt works for. That'd be nice. Yeah.
Keep waiting.
Holding me up from lunch today again and shit. Ah, motherfuckers. But you know. Yeah, it is the bustle and hustle of the holiday season right around the corner. Which I generally really enjoy the holidays. I legit like Christmas quite a bit, and Thanksgiving's fun too. But it also sometimes you have to sit back and step back from our jobs and everything else and try to enjoy it too, because it does get very busy, and especially in the businesses that we work in. But you know, it's not our first rodeo, guys. We'll make it through. We have each other.
Oh yeah,
yes. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, never mind. I don't know where I was going with that. So, but let's get into the show then. Let's get started because
is it January yet?
It is late. It's not January yet, man. I'm not quite ready for January to be here. I mean, I don't want it to jump by it that fast, you know. But because you know, January sucks, dude. Especially last year. Remember, let's not even talk about February, okay? That shit sucked with that freeze and all that here in Texas. Let's even fucking come close to that again. Yeah, so I'm not quite ready to jump to January and February yet. Let's try to enjoy November, December as much as we can. And we still got a couple weeks in October, a couple weeks to Halloween. And that is what we're doing on the show every year. We do Halloween horrors in October as we do some horror films and a little bit different style of film today. This is kind of a sci-fi horror, but it's not your slasher bloody variety, but that's okay. We'll talk about that in a few, but let's get today's show and download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. And I'll go first just because is short and sweet. So last weekend we were going to try to all go see Bond, but my Saturday kind of started becoming muddled, and Long had something to do, and I wasn't sure, so we just kind of put it on hold. Me and Matt might try to go see it when we're both on vacation here in a couple weeks. And but then my Saturday kind of opened up after the fact. So after I threw the soda can at the Longhorn game, I told the kids, get your shoes on, we're leaving, just randomly. And they're like, what? And we just went to the movie theater. We went and saw Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to take him to the movies, get him out of the house. And Wyatt was super excited because Wyatt thinks Carnage is an exciting character. Maybe I should be worried about that. I don't know. It's better than the first one. I'll give it that. It's short and sweet, but it's one of those hour and 35 minutes movies that didn't feel short. Like it did enough, you know, which is sometimes good because it doesn't drag on and waste time. But I actually I actually enjoyed it. I really did compared to the first one. Tom Hardy's great in it. I mean, Hardy's a good actor, so he does a good job playing Eddie Brock. And I did feel Woody Harrelson's maybe a little old for Cletus Cassidy, but he still did fine. We all know Woody's made a career comeback the last few years playing villains and different characters, and he did a good job in this movie. Special effects are much better than they were in the first one since they had some money to spend on the sequel. And overall, I think Andy Serkis did a good job with his direction of the film. But it's a fun little comic book movie. It's cool to see. For me, as a comic book fan, I try not to take it too seriously for the movie and what it is. It was just cool to see these two characters that were extremely popular growing up reading comics. I remember when Carnage first appeared, and to get to see him appear on the big screen, I thought was really neat. Just to have that moment. But some good battles.
90s edge, man. 90s edge.
Yeah. And this, just like the first one, this does feel like a 90s action film, the way it plays out. But that doesn't necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, it's a fun little movie, and good special effects. And we talked about the post credit scene last week, and I can confirm that is real. Looks like Venom's going to show up in the Marvel Universe here within the next couple years. Hell, maybe in December if he appears in the Spider-Man movie. Who knows? But that's not a bad thing at all, because let's face it, everyone wants to see a really good, legit fucking Spider-Man versus Venom movie. I mean, there's not a comic fan on the planet doesn't want to see that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, man, it was fun. You know, I wasn't in a hurry to go see it, but I wanted to get the kids out of the house, and I could have waited for it on home video. But it was entertaining. You know, gave me and the kids something to do last Saturday afternoon. So
got your
that's really all I watched this week. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I even took Waverly, and she was good. She got a little scared on one part, and she covered her eyes, but she was excellent at the movies for a 4-year-old. My mom was like, you took Waverly to see Venom? I'm like, yeah, it's all right. Toughened her up early. You know, it's like, she'll be okay. But that's really all I watched this week, was really just that. I haven't had time to watch much else other than baseball playoffs, you know?
Yeah, cool. No, I slacked off. I pulled a mark and played Final Fantasy 14. That's it. Just trying to get my main tank character up and to level 80, and also haven't done much as a healer because it's too stressful for me sometimes to keep people alive. So it's like, no, I just want to go home and kill or soak damage, you know?
I think that's every game, man, because even in Galaxies, when we're getting groups together for raids, it's always hardest to find a medic because it's a stressful job in those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, floor's yours, Matt.
Yeah. I wanted to refresh myself and get ready for Bond, and I watched Skyfall. and I watched Spectre, and man, it just got me, you know, just hyped up about Daniel Craig's Bond. And I was just like, you know, just watching him again. And then I went back and I watched Casino Royale again. And I was just like, man, you know, he reminds me of a mix between Sean Connery and Dalton.
I've heard rumors that like Spectre wasn't as well received, right? We all know this, but it's still enjoyable. But I've heard people are saying, I've read that you should go back and watch it before. Apparently, it really ties in closer to No Time to Die than even Skyfall does. So I'm curious about that. I might try to get a Spectre watch in before I see No Time to Die.
Yeah, if you use the Amazon account, you can rent it.
I've got it, like
$1.19. It was like
I've got it on Vudu and I own it. So
nice. But yeah, I was like, man, he's edgy like Dalton was, and then he's got that Sean Connery charm. I feel like he's got that down. But you know, no one was more charming than Sean Connery, in my opinion. And I feel like, you know, that's like Craig does that, with, you know, the way he is with women, you know, just in all the films, you know, he's just got that, you know, whenever, like in Casino Royale, we did that movie this year. And, when Vesper says, you know, if all you had left was your little finger, you'd be more of a man than anyone I'd know. And he's like, that's cause you know what I can do with my little finger. And he's like, I know you're dying to find out. And it's like, and he says it in such a cool way. You know, if any one of us said it, it might come off as, you know, very creepy, but Craig says it, it's, you know, it's gold. But you know, so can't wait for No Time to Die.
It's the English accent.
Yes.
if he said that in the American accent, then yeah, it would be creepy.
Goldfinger. I bought Goldfinger, but I didn't get to watch it, so I can't put Goldfinger on here.
I've watched that movie. Doesn't hold up for me.
Goldfinger's good.
It's good, but it's I agree with Long. It's slow. You know, you watch Craig's Bond, and you watch Goldfinger's a good performance. You know,
I think the best Connery Bond is From Russia with Love. I mean, that's the closest thing to a modern Bond film, really. You know, definitely up the action in it. It's well paced, really good story. Yeah.
You Only Live Twice is one of my personal favorites because that's over the top.
There he and dies at the beginning.
Yeah,
he gets folded up in the bed, and they're like pa 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 pa, and you think he's dead.
Yeah, I always, when I was a kid, I always rewatched the mini helicopter scene.
Oh yeah, good one.
And the music's good in that one.
Yeah. Although, yeah, the score is good, and I like the old school, you know, opening, you know, the original opening, and I like Inspector, how that theme was playing through the whole movie. I like the nostalgia, good stuff. Other than that, I watched one Halloween movie. I told you guys about it. If you guys are anyone's looking for a Halloween movie to watch, I was late to the game watching Trick or Treat, and it's kind of like Tales of Halloween. It's one whole night, and there's multiple stories rolled into the night, and you get it from different perspectives and different time frames, and it kind of, you know, you play in a scene from the past, and then you go back to the present, and then you go to the future, and then you go back to the present, and on some of these scenes, you'll have to watch it, but it's on HBO Max. I thought it was a decent movie. It was like a B-, you know, maybe. Kind of movie. It's you know, maybe one that you may watch again another time. Kind of creepy, because it's got, like, you know, kids in there, you know, creepy kids. It's got, you know, vampire. It's got rogues in there. The woman, the lady who played Rogue in the X-Men movies. I forget the actress's name. Ricky Bobby's wife, lady who played Ricky Bobby's wife, and then the guy who played Doc Connors in the McGuire Spider-Man films. He's in the movie, and it's a decent movie. It's on HBO Max streaming. So if you want to watch Trick or Treat, it's kind of cool. I forgot to mention last week, but I finished Harry Potter. I watched Deathly Hallows part 1 and 2.
Those are actually pretty good.
Yeah. I like the last two. Last two is pretty cool. The Holocruxes and trying to make it to where there's only one soul of Voldemort left. Cool stuff. Yeah. I went on Vudu. They have a comedy mix and match. So I got Dumb and Dumber, Horrible Bosses, and We're the Millers. And I did watch Dumb and Dumber, but not all the way. I watched halfway through, and I had to show my son.
You really need to research movies before you buy them. Though, you know, almost all three of those are always either on Netflix or Hulu or one of the streaming services.
Yeah, but I want them.
I know, but I think about that sometimes before I spend money, especially on digital. Like, if I want to own a movie, like on Blu-ray, that's different. But if a digital copy, if I know it's, like, streaming everywhere, I'll think twice before buying it, you know? It's like, like, why own it when I can just pull it up on Netflix and watch it, you know?
That's fair. Fair point.
Just like, how many times have you rented a movie when streaming somewhere that we're doing on the show? You're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah, I've done that a lot.
You're impulsive.
Very impulsive. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'll just do shit. Like, too much of a Viking. Just, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's streaming on three platforms that you own. It's like, whoops. Well, at least it was only $3, I guess. I didn't even have to spend that. I could have got one of those giant, you know, Reese's bars that clog my arteries, you know. But they taste great, you know. But yeah, man, that was it for me. Probably watch a couple comedies and one more horror film this week, and bring it to the table next week.
Cool. Well, all right. Well, let's get into today's featured film then. A movie that is maybe not your standard horror. We kind of it's sci-fi horror from 1978. A movie that's a remake of a 1956 film, and it's since been remade, I think, a couple of other times since the 78 version. But the 78 version is considered the best of the tellings of this tale, and that is Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And Matt, because the lead character of this movie has your name, I'm going to let you summarize it. But this film can be a little complex, so don't give us the 5-minute version. Let's see if you can summarize this in 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, you can do this in 2 minutes. Yeah, yeah. So obviously, the film, as it implies, there is an organism coming down to Earth and basically snatching bodies by replicating it, making this clone of yourself, and this weird flower thing that just spits out clones of you. And then it's like you don't even have your personality left. So these people that this organism clones, they're emotionless. They're very blasé, if I may say. And they're trying to hide from them. They're trying to blend in and not, you know, they don't know what's going on at first. And, you know, one woman, she, you know, Leonard Nimoy says, oh, you just think this is another person because you want to divorce him. And
I think she's having relationship emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you know, you're having relationship problems. That's why. And, you know, no, they're not crazy. And they, you know, they go to this mud sauna, and lo and behold, there's tons of these people just spawning everywhere. And Sutherland, he does most of his own stunts through this thing. He comes across their little, like one of their plants where they're growing these organisms. They're trying to hide in plain sight, and they're very animalistic. These, you know, you turn into barbarism mentally as you go on. And then, yeah, I'm starting to get into the different tangents, but it's not your slasher film. It's not your slasher horror. It's very much a sci-fi
paranoia
organism. Well, yeah, paranoia.
It plays off the paranoia of the night. Plays off the paranoia of the 1970s.
Yes. You know, and kind there. Of what the 1950s film did. I mean, if you're going to do a remake, this is what a good remake looks like. this is what, you know, this is how it should be done. Low budget, you know, it made 6 times its money. At the end, there's a nice twist. You know, it's Sutherland is, you know, or whatever the voice sound that they make whenever they're trying to alert that, you know, a regular person. But it's creepy, you know, it is kind of creepy.
So man, was this the first watch for both of you?
Yeah, it's the first watch.
So did you see the ending coming?
No.
I knew about the ending.
Oh,
it was kind of spoiled.
It is kind of a pop culture type ending. Some people have heard about it before, but some people haven't. But you know, it's one of those endings that's kind of like, it's kind of like watching any great ending to a film, whether it's, you know, The Usual Suspects or thing. Like every time I watch it, I'm like, man, it's fucked up. You know, it's like every time it's like, damn it, they got him in the end, you know, cause he tried so hard to get away from them, you know? This movie it's a slow burn at the beginning, like the first hour, but if you pay attention to the direction of the film and the way it's directed, it does it on purpose. It's building this paranoia even in the viewer, where you don't know who to trust. And the direction, a lot of the cameras are turned at angles and turned sideways to give this film like this claustrophobia to it. And it's all done on purpose to set up the conclusion of the film where it kind of opens up the world of these pod beings or whatever they are. And I think that's a cool thing about this is they don't over-explain this. It's just like, this is happening. These things have come to our planet. They're taking us over and we don't really know what it is, but yet we're going to try to fight it. And my one thing with the movie is Donald Sutherland's character in Matthew seems awfully smart for a health inspector. You know, it's like this guy is conveniently hangs out with like really smart scientists and smart people, but yet you're just a health inspector. So this might be one of the conveniences of the film, but it works. It's a well-acted film, I think, for a sci-fi low-budget film. Donald's great. Leonard Nimoy, they're all really good in it. And they help build on the paranoia of the film. It's a little violent for a PG movie. That just shows you how times have changed. This would easily be PG-13, probably, if not rated R now, if it came out, just because it has some nudity.
Yeah, with the titties in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And but it just shows you a sign of the times. But Long, man, you talk for a minute. What did you think seeing this?
Well, for me, the movie was visually boring after, you know, watching Dracula last week.
Fair.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, this is definitely a 70s movie.
Yeah.
You know, and look at all those sideburns and bell bottoms and neck chains and porn stashes.
Yes, a lot of porn stashes.
Yeah. I couldn't get into it as much as you guys did. I don't know why. It's just maybe I'm not in the mood or what, but I don't know. It just didn't captivate me.
It takes a little bit to get into it, and I'd argue that the second hour of the film is better than the first hour because of the slow burn.
Yeah, but that. Yeah, and I was going towards that. It definitely builds up the suspense, and Kevin McCarthy's cameo. He got chased down by a mob.
Even Robert Duvall's cameo is very homage. Short at the beginning of the film. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was like, hey, food inspector? That's who we're focusing on, you know?
Yeah.
An interesting occupation.
He was originally going to be a jazz musician.
But other than that, I mean, I could see the allegory in the whole, the underpinnings of what the whole thing was about.
And so, you do get to see
the first one was more.
No, go ahead.
Get to see more what? Because the original black and white version was definitely an allegory against, you know, the Red Scare,
right?
You know, communism, anti-communist messaging, and this one not as obvious. But it's just definitely everyone's a suspect type of deal. And
And it plays off, I think.
70s, Yeah,
the 70s paranoia of the the government post Watergate and all that. Yeah, you know. I thought it was cool seeing a very young Jeff Goldblum, already honing his excellent skills even at this young age. You know, he stands out in the film. I think he's really good in it.
This was post Fly, right?
Fly's 80s, like 86.
Oh, pre-Fly.
Yeah, this is only like his fourth or fifth film. This is way early in his career. Yeah, it was before he had any massive hits. In fact, this is probably his biggest hit at this point when this came out, and he's not even the main star in it. You know, I would imagine when this movie came out, I have to look at the posters, but I imagine they sold this film as a Donald Sutherland film, and Jeff Goldblum was just in it. And I bet as the years went by, they advertised the film more with his name in it as he became a bigger star. You know, I would imagine you had to imagine this Donald Sutherland and Ernie Moore were the two actors that they promoted in this film when it originally came out. I'm sure those were big names. Yeah. You know, Nimoy is a huge name from Star Trek, and man, this is even pre Nimoy before the start. What year did Star Trek the Motion Picture came out? 79. Yeah, so this is even before they started making Star Trek films. So this is you know, I haven't seen Leonard Nimoy in a whole lot of stuff that's not Star Trek. So it's kind of weird for me to see him in this, and I keep thinking Spock, you know, but he's good in the film, and I know he's done some other stuff too, and his character is just like, he's just sort of introduced, and he's supposed to be the scientist that really, like you said, he tries to convince her that, oh, it's just relationship problems, and he's trying to look at things from a realistic standpoint, and then when he comes in and he tries to kill them later on in the movie, it's just a complete 180 from who he was. Like I say, emotionless, it changes them. And that's where the horror of this lies in this film, is the horrifying aspect of like your friends being taken over and your whole world. And it's a little scary, you know, the way it plays out in this film.
Yeah. That's not my wife. That's not my husband.
Yeah. And I do like the limited special effects in this movie. It had a lower budget, but I thought when they did have the special effects of the pods and stuff, I thought they were pretty well done. The makeup effects in the movie are really good and kind of creepy. and when Sutherland, his character Matt, whenever he first gets cloned, but he wakes up during the cloning and he goes out there and he finds a clone of himself and he like literally kills himself. It's like, that's really fucking weird. You know, it's like to see your clone lying there in the ground and you just smash it with a shovel. Like, ugh.
Every time someone says clone, gross. And then this movie.
And that was okay. Reminds me, so he doesn't smash the other clones, right?
It's a clone.
So he smashes his clone, but he doesn't smash the other two.
Yeah.
But yet they all escape together. So what happened to those other clones? So, you know.
It's true.
So do they wake up? Because later on it kind of says when the clone wakes up, the other body dies. So maybe they didn't finish the process because they woke up during it. So
maybe
it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, the movie's definitely.
I was watching this though. You know,
gooey.
Yeah, it's got its creepy vibe to it throughout it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gooey. It's gooey.
Yeah.
Whenever he tries to grab her in the field, and come on, let's go. And then she just like melts within herself.
Oh, towards the end of the movie? Yeah.
Yeah. And then she pops up and her tits are out. She's like, Matthew. It's like,
Matt.
Oh.
Of course, Matt's going to notice the tits.
Yeah. But she called my name and I was like, hi.
Oh, you had to look. And then he runs. Then he runs away, and he helps destroy part of the facility and all that. And then the movie just sort of jumps where you think it gives you this vibe that you think he figured out how to live amongst them, where he just follows them and he's working and he's doing his job every day. That figures out how to hold his emotions, and then he runs into his other friend at the end of the movie, and she is still living amongst them. Thinking and faking her emotions, and she thinks that he has too. Then, you know, he does the horrifying scream at the end of the movie. It's revealed that they actually got to Matthew, and he is one of them now. And it's considered one of the great science fiction endings in theaters or in movies of all time. And I can see why. It is. They get you, man, with that. You really think that he gave you hope, and then they take all that hope away from you in a split second when he does a horrifying scream to her. Like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah, man. My wife didn't know where Donald Sutherland was from, and she didn't recognize him. I was like, oh, because you only knew him as an old person in Hunger Games. And she's like, oh. I was like, yeah, Snow. Yeah, President Snow. She's like, oh, my God.
Like, yeah, he's one of our.
Yeah, he has such a long
actor. He's one of our great actors. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of our great
he's
actors.
In Horrible he's Bosses,
semi-retired now. He still does a few things, you know, but he is. Is he in his 90s by now? I know he's elder, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's up there. He's really up there.
Yeah, he's got to be.
In some ways, your wife's right. I always remember Sutherland as being old, but then every now and then I'll see him in a movie and I'm like, oh, there's Donald Sutherland, you know? And how old is he? Let's see. 1935. So, yeah, he's not quite 81. No, 80. What year are we in? So he'd be 80. He'll be July 17th. So he's 86. So, yeah.
Wow.
But he's had a hell of a career, that's for sure. You know,
real.
I first saw him in Backdraft.
I remember. Yeah, he was in Backdraft. Of course, yeah, like I said, modern.
Underrated movie.
Yeah, a Ron Howard film. Yeah, Backdraft is really good. Yeah, I mean, he's been in all kinds of stuff. Lots of TV acting, lots of Westerns. You know, modern younger people probably know him for the Hunger Games. Gosh. You know, yeah. The
original movie.
He was a Mechanic remake from a few years ago. There's been a lot of stuff, man. Well, that's right. He's in Beer Fest. He has a cameo in that. I forgot about that.
Beer Fest.
I forgot he was a cameo in that. Wow. That's right. He was in the Italian Job remake with Mark Wahlberg. Played like their boss or whatever. So, yeah. Space Cowboys, of course. Yeah. Good old Donald Sutherland. But yeah, overall though, man, this movie, I think it holds up pretty well. It's like Long said, you know, you got to put yourself in that time frame when this came out. It definitely feels like a 1970s film, but I think it can hold up with modern audiences too and still tell a good story. And I think that's what this film does well, though, is it does tell a good story. Despite maybe its setting and dated special effects, it still tells a solid science fiction story that can play in the paranoia today. This movie could be remade today and told with an allegory in some ways. You know, people still have mistrust in the government and other situations in the world. You know, and I think that's what's important about the story like this. Of course, you know, nowadays, they'd probably make it and kind of play up the aliens more and probably get to see what they really are, you know. So it would probably change things.
Well, the Invasion, the 2007 movie with Tom Cruise's ex-wife, you know what I'm talking about? And then Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
They grabbed you and they like shot the mucus stuff at you.
Then there was a movie from the 80s called Body Snatch, the 80s remake called Body Snatchers. I remember that one. I thought that one had aliens in it too. They actually showed
that one. And then there was a 94 one too. It was in the 90s. Well, and then there was.
Yeah.
So it's been remade
a few times.
Yeah. The 90s one, I think, is bad. I think they, the 2000 one, there was just, you know, not a whole lot of similarities to the 78 version. I think this might be the best one of the story. I think the 50s one had too much comedy, they said, for a horror movie. I haven't seen it, but apparently there was a lot of comedy in there and people were like, oh, it shouldn't be that much in a horror film. And then Sam Raimi comes in with
Slap Body Snatchers. Body Snatchers was 1993. So that's 93. The 90s version. And it gets a 6.0. on IMDb. Nobody really famous in it. So, yeah, it probably wasn't really well received. R. Lee Ermey is probably the most famous actor in it. And what do you know? He played a general.
Yep. Of course.
But yeah, this is definitely, I think, considered the best version of this story that's been told over the years. And, You know, I think it's pretty solid even for a 70s film. I mean, if I was, I'm not going to be quite as generous as I've been lately. I think I'd give this a B+, you know. I think the only thing that holds it back maybe is just that it's a little bit older and maybe a little bit, could have used a little more special effects in it to maybe help flesh out the story a little bit more, so to speak. But I think it's well acted and it tells a good science fiction horror story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I give it a B.
B. Minus. Yep. Solid B.
But I'm still mad that Donald Sutherland turned to evil at the end. I do not like that.
Just take away all your hope. Humanity is fucked. The best health inspector in the world.
And that was rare back then, man. Honestly, for movies in the 70s, you know, nowadays it's not as uncommon to see a movie where the bad guy wins. So back then, man, that didn't happen very often. You know, movies were, people went to the movies to escape and the good guys won. It didn't happen too often that the bad guys won. And so cool. So Invasion of the Body Snatchers, check it out if you wish. And it is the month of October, so instead of doing a top five this month, we are telling ghost stories, a tradition that we started a couple years back and was very well received, and it's fun to do. So we're going to continue that this week with a couple of stories. Matt, you got one you brought to the table this week?
I did. This one comes from where my grandma came from. It's Tampico, Mexico, and Tampico's by the sea. It's literally like the way you get there. You have to go straight towards Corpus into Brownsville. You keep on going, and you just ride the coast, really. And you get there, and there's this abandoned hospital there. That's a local legend. And it's called La Naturalista is what it was called. It was a natural hospital. And they did therapies there. They did physical therapy. They did some mental therapy and some general admission stuff. And the legend is that there was a nurse in the late 1970s that fell in love with a doctor, and the doctor broke her heart and you know, kind of broke things off with her, and the nurse I guess hated her job after that, started treating patients bad, and she caused the death of a 9-year-old child. And the legend is that the father of that child was enraged and grabbed one of the medical tools off the table and slashed her throat. She died, and they closed the hospital shortly after. And there are many reports of a nurse walking the hallways, sobbing. A lot of people would rent a lot of young people, they rent the venues in the 90s after this to host raves and other stuff, and claim that they would see her. Now it's abandoned. But if you go there now, supposedly you can still hear her, and there's pentagrams on the walls, saying welcome to hell. Or where is your love now? Trying to write letters to the woman. It was closed in 1989. Apparently, some of the hauntings happened right before it closed as well. It's still there. It's still there. 200 meters from the sea, and you can still rent out its pool and go visit the place, even though it's abandoned. Yeah,
I'll put you in there. I'm good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's it. That's it.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue what I started last week with telling urban legends from our great state of Texas. And so I found this one called The White Lady of the Rio Frio, which is, you know, also known as the Frio River here in Texas. And
Mark, take your time reading this story. You don't have to barrel through it.
Okay.
just take your time.
Situated about an hour and 40 minutes west of San Antonio, near the community of Rio Frio, the Frio River harbors a ghostly tale of love, betrayal, and heartbreak. Witnesses have described a wisp of translucent fog that moves like a woman dressed in white, hence the legend's name, the White Lady of Rio Frio. As the story goes, Maria Juarez lived in the early 1900s and had an elder sister who was married to a man named Gregorio. Although Maria was several years younger than her sister, Gregorio noticed her beauty. Around the same time, Maria also caught the eye of a young man named Anselmo Tobar, and the two began courting. Gregorio took Maria aside and admitted his love for her. But Maria was appalled that her brother-in-law would betray her beloved sister, and she rejected him. Gregorio flew into a rage. Fleeing for her life, Maria fled to a location where Anselmo had agreed to meet her. Under the haunting glow of moonlight, Maria heard someone approach, and she ran to greet Anselmo, only to find Gregorio with a pistol pointed at her heart. With one shot, he killed Maria and then hid behind the hay in a nearby barn. When the community came to investigate, no one had any reason to suspect Gregorio, but the dogs they brought to the crime scene picked up the scent leading to the barn. Gregorio came out with his hands up and confessed, all the while swearing his love for Maria. Over the years, many people in the community have seen a woman in white roaming the canyon. Even local children have seen her sitting on their beds at night. And so the tragic story of Maria Juarez lives on in the Rio Frio's ghostly tale. So, yeah.
So, wow. Love gone bad.
Kind of scary.
Unrequited love.
It tells you, you just can't, you know, love your sister-in-law's lady parts, you know? You get arrested.
Pretty much. yeah. All right. Well, let's do some news today before we get out of here. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. We already knew that Adam Warlock was teased at the end of part 2. So Will Porter, is that how you say, is going to play Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's – what is he from? He looked familiar when I saw a picture.
We're the Millers. He's the kid that gets his balls bitten by the tarantula and they swell up.
So he's going to play Guardians. So I'm more excited that Adam Warlock's in the movie than who's playing it. Like, cause I think that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that we're getting it. Cause there was a time there where, you know, they tease him at the end of part 2, and of course James Gunn wasn't going to direct 3. Now he's back to direct 3, and so I'm glad that we're going to get the character that they teased that we were getting. So that'll be cool. Superman's son is come out in the comics as bisexual, and this is news just because it's all over the place this week. But in some ways nowadays it's like, why should it be news? You know, we're all well aware that Marvel and DC are in the business to sell comics, so they're going to do these woke stories and stuff, and it's going to cause controversy. And well, it works. It's been all over the news this week. Everyone's talking about it. But there's also a lot of confusion about it because I've seen so many headlines and Twitter accounts and stuff that say, "Oh, I can't believe they made Superman gay." No, they did not make Clark Kent gay. They made his son bisexual. It's like, so I think that's what's caused some of the. Yeah, that's what's caused some of the controversy this week is people think that it's Clark Kent himself. No, Clark Kent's still very much in love with Lois Lane. So so if you're interested, you know, check that out. Master of the Universe Revelations, they announced season or part 2 of season 1 will be out Thanksgiving weekend, November 23rd. So fans of that show, like myself, that'll be available to watch that weekend. I thought it was really good. You know, I know a lot of these old school He-Man fans hated it, and I'm just like, do you realize you watched this when you were a kid? He-Man wasn't that great. You know, it's like, this is probably better than anything in the original cartoon, but, you know, haters gonna hate. we got a couple new trailers this week. The first one, I did not realize that Disney Plus was doing essentially a remake of Home Alone. Was it called Sweet Home Alone or something?
Home Sweet Home fucking, Alone.
Yeah. And you know what? The trailer is actually not that bad. I watched it. I'm like, this actually looks like it could be pretty damn entertaining. you know, it's one of those classics that people say, oh, do you really need to remake it? Do you need to make another one? You know, that question at this point, does it really matter? You know, they're remaking everything. They're rebooting everything. That's been going on for about 15 years now. So, you know, maybe maybe give it a shot. It looks like it takes place in the same universe too, because that looks like Kevin's brother is one of the security guards, because it shows McAllister on his jacket in the trailer. So, you know, we'll see.
I'm looking at
and the other trailer that hit this week is the new Scream film. You know, and they're bringing back the original cast for this. And you know, Scream is one of those movies that, you know, it was pretty good. You know, directed by Wes Craven, and it went on to have some sequels. And you know, it's one of those, the sequels maybe weren't as good, but I actually really liked this trailer for Scream. Did you, Matt? I know you had to watch the Scream trailer, right? That came out this week. I mean,
yeah, Scream one is good.
I thought the trailer for the new film was really legit. I'm like, wow, that looks really good.
Yeah.
But come on.
Yeah, hopefully it's as good as four.
The killer's got to be one of the original cast members, right? What's the point in doing the movie if it's not one of the original cast members?
They always find a way, man. They always find a way to. I mean, in four, it was her sister. Her sister wanted clout. I use a new kid term. She wanted clout because her sister, you know, was all famous because of the murders, and so she wanted to be famous now. So she started killing everyone around her. And
I know, but the new one though just feels like, from the watching the trailer, it feels like it's got to be one of the original cast members.
Maybe it's Gail.
Maybe it's Courtney Cox. Yeah. She comes back, she just kills everybody. Yeah. But I don't know. I heard a while back they were making another one, and I felt like, it's one of those franchises that needs to go away. But then I saw the trailer and I'm like, well, you know, actually looks pretty interesting. So we'll see. And it might give us a reason to do Scream 1 in the show at some point, maybe when the movie comes out.
Yes.
I haven't watched that in years. I wonder how it holds up, or if it's still very much a 90s film. Good.
If Fathom Events is having an event at I think it's this Saturday, you can go see it.
They've been doing a lot of those, though, because they're trying to get people in theaters, you know.
Yeah.
I only see the spoof of the movie.
A scary movie.
You never seen Scream long, really?
Scary movie. I had no desire to watch it.
Dude, he guts Drew Barrymore and hangs her by her own intestines outside.
If that's not worth watching it, then what is? You know?
I want to see what your insides look like. Ugh.
Scary Movie's a funny movie.
It is funny.
The first one's okay. The second one I walked out of the theater on.
Yeah.
The second one's horrible.
Because you're too conservative.
No, it's just, it was dumb.
James Woods.
But, anyway, well, that's all the news I had. You know, that was it. So, next week on the show, Matt is going to make Long and I return to the world.
Why are we watching this?
I don't know. Somehow,
right. I thought we were watching Coraline next week.
No, that's we always end the month with the kid movie. To bring ourselves back into the light after so much darkness and horror. And Matt's going to make me cry again this week as I have to go back to the world of Pinhead as we talk Hellraiser 2 Hellbound.
The vision is renewed. The power is reawakened. Fear is reborn because they have returned.
Time to play.
Hellbound, Hellraiser 2. Brace yourself for terror you have never imagined.
Your suffering will be legendary even in hell.
And horrors you can never escape.
And you wanted to know.
Now you know.
Last year, they brought hell to Earth. Now, they'll take you through hell.
No!
Oh,
Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, time to play.
Actually, I was the one that lobbied it.
You kind of instigated it, but I'm still blaming Matt because he made me watch the original last year. So, a movie that I avoided for so many years after being horrified by only seeing moments of it as a kid. I swore to my life I'd never watch it again, and I had to last year. So, but at least it's streaming on Amazon Prime, and so it's easy to watch. I think it's on Hulu also. It's pretty easy to watch most of those old Hellraiser films.
It's also shot better than the other one. I think you're going to find it more entertaining. A little bit more sci-fi element to it.
I'm just in an edgy mood lately, and I feel like Hellraiser 2 would probably scratch that itch for me.
That's right.
In a more scary way, I guess. Frightening way.
Makes sense. Well, it's okay. And after that, to close out the month, we'll have a Coraline at the end of our Halloween Horrors month. But that's next week's show, Hellraiser 2, Hellbound, on the Rebel Radio Podcast, which you can find at therebelradiopodcast.com. And that's it for this week. Continue to stay safe, everybody, and take care of each other. And as always, thank you for listening. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Long, the snatch body.
Yeah, how do I know you guys really aren't clones? No, because Matt's got that stupid fucking smirk on his face. I already know. Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Do it.